Get a better grip on the markets. WSJ's Take on the Week is here to give you a look ahead to the most important events on the economic and business calendar and what they mean for your money and investments. Subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Wednesday, October 4th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Amazon used a secret algorithm to force competitors to lower or raise their prices. That's what the Federal Trade Commission alleges in redacted portions of its monopoly lawsuit against the company. And according to a person familiar with the matter, the e-commerce giant raked in more than $1 billion in revenue from the program. Our reporter Dana Mattioli is going to join us with details of how the algorithm allegedly worked and how it fits into the agency's broader case against the company. But first, Netflix is planning to raise the prices of its ad-free service once the actors' strike ends. The streaming service is discussing increasing their prices in several markets globally, but will likely begin in the US and Canada, according to people familiar with the matter. It's unclear how much Netflix will raise prices or when they will go up. Our deputy media editor Jessica Tunkel says while other streamers have raised prices over the past year, Netflix has so far been a holdout.
Even though Netflix is profitable, protecting the bottom line is a constant need. So for Netflix to increase their prices, it makes sense. It's more of a necessity for the competition because no one else is profitable yet with their streaming services. And many of them have target dates that they've given to Wall Street saying we're going to be profitable, depending on the service, you know, within the next year or two.
The cost of major ad-free streaming services has gone up about 25% over the last year or so as companies work to make their services profitable. Netflix declined to comment. Would you pay more than $10 a month for access to Facebook or Instagram? That's what Meta wants to charge Europeans for monthly subscriptions if they don't agree to let the company use their digital activity to target ads. Specifically, users would be charged roughly 10 euros to check Facebook or Instagram on desktops and 13 euros per month to access accounts on mobile devices, according to people familiar with the plan. European tech reporter Sam Schechner says it's part of the company's attempt to navigate stricter privacy rules.
It is a really big turnaround for Meta. They've really been on the side of free services that are ad-supported because those can reach the largest number of people. But they've been under pressure for how they use data. And in the EU, they've really pushed further and regulators have been taking a much stricter view of the bloc's privacy regulations in recent years to the point where Meta is now being told it has to ask for user consent in order to even crunch the data that its own apps collect about you in order to show you ads.
Meta has been floating the idea by EU regulators over the last few weeks and hopes to roll out the new plan by the end of the month, according to our previous reporting. But Sam says it's unclear if regulators will get on board.
Some of them have expressed concerns that the prices might be so high as to make it impractical for many people to say no to this kind of use of their data. And so we'll see if they say, sure, this is okay, or if they say, well, but the prices need to be lower, or if they simply say there needs to be a free option without as much data collection. Again, there's a lot of wild cards here that might change Meta's timeline. Meta might say, you know, we think it is compliant. Take us to court. Let's establish some case law here.
And following up on a story we told you about last month, Senators Marsha Blackburn and Richard Blumenthal are seeking information about TikTok executives who were transferred from the company's China-based parent ByteDance. In a letter to TikTok, the senator said the personnel changes give the impression that ByteDance is preserving its influence over the company, while trying to avoid suspicion. Since the start of the year, high-profile executives who transferred from ByteDance have taken on some of the top jobs in TikTok's money-making operations. Some have even moved their Beijing-based teams with them. A spokesman for TikTok said the company hasn't played down its relationship with ByteDance. in a moment, an algorithm named for a mythical monster is part of how Amazon created an e-commerce monopoly, according to the FTC. We'll explain after the break.
Courage. I learned it from my adoptive mom.
Hold my hand?
You hold my hand!
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Amazon used an algorithm to test how much it could raise its prices in a way that competitors would follow. That's according to redacted portions of the Federal Trade Commission's monopoly lawsuit against the company. The algorithm, codenamed Project Nessie, helped the e-commerce giant improve its profits, according to people familiar with the allegations. WSJ reporter Dana Mattioli is with us to talk about the program. So Dana, can you tell us a bit more about how Project Nessie worked?
In last week's FTC lawsuit against Amazon, there was a giant redacted section about an algorithm called Project Nessie. And it didn't really lay out how the algorithm worked or why it was part of the complaint. And what we were able to figure out is that the FTC alleges that Amazon used this internal algorithm to test how much it could raise prices on Amazon.com in a way that their competitors would follow. And what the FTC says is this created higher prices for consumers throughout the internet.
How does the FTC allege that this particular algorithm helped Amazon to increase those prices across platforms that it doesn't operate?
The thing about Amazon is that it is such a behemoth when it comes to e-commerce. Nearly 40% of all online commerce happens on Amazon.com in the U.S. And because of that power, it's very well tracked by competitors from a pricing standpoint. So when Amazon lowers a price, or even when Amazon raises a price, competitor sites notice and often follow. So even if you're not shopping on Amazon.com, a raised price there could affect the dollars in your cart on a competitor website.
You say this program worked when Amazon lowered prices as well?
Yeah. So the other way that this was used, according to employees, is that because of dynamic pricing online, Amazon will react in real time to price drops from competitors, and all the big websites do this. So if Target lowered the price of a Barbie doll from $10 to $5 on Target.com, Amazon and Walmart would follow to stay competitive. But what would happen is that once that sale was over at Target and they went back to their normal price, Target would be selling at $10, but Amazon and Walmart would still be locked in this $5 Barbie sale. So they also used Nessie to get back to a normal price from these promotional spirals, as they called it.
Do we know how much Amazon allegedly made from this program?
So the FTC's lawsuit redacted the estimate of how much Nessie made Amazon. I have a source that told me that Amazon made more than $1 billion in revenue through the use of the algorithm.
Has the FTC or Amazon responded to requests for comment about these redacted portions of the filing?
The FTC declined to comment on the redacted materials. A spokesman said that they want to swiftly get these redactions removed so that the American public could see the full scope of what they're alleging in their lawsuit. Amazon did not give us a comment for this article, but it is important to note that they stopped using this algorithm in 2019.
So how does Project Nessie fit with the FTC's broader argument about Amazon having a monopoly?
Yeah, so there is a broader argument from the FTC that Amazon, in two ways, elevates prices for consumers. So they say that all of the various fees that Amazon levies upon its third-party sellers are passed along to consumers to offset the fees. And the second thing that they said is that because Amazon demands that their sellers have the lowest price on Amazon.com and penalizes them if they offer their products for lower prices on competitor sites, that the floor is set by Amazon. And because these sellers have to offset the fees, everyone pays higher prices.
Dana, you and I have talked before about how FTC Chair Lina Khan argued in her 2017 Yale Law Review article that Amazon was a monopoly. Does the argument that she's making as the head of the agency now differ from what she argued back then?
It's interesting. When the lawsuit came out, a lot of people scratched their heads because her original 2017 paper alleged that Amazon was a predatory pricer, that it lowered prices to places where competitors couldn't compete and put people out of business. So it was sort of the opposite argument. And there were a lot of hot takes that had a hard time reconciling that through what the actual lawsuit said. But when I spoke to people around the case and people that have watched the evolution of LenaCon, they pointed out that this is really not a discrepancy and that the Amazon that LenaCon was describing in 2017 was a monopoly builder. And oftentimes monopoly builders have to cut prices and push rivals out of business in order to cement their dominance. And that the Amazon that LenaCon is suing now is a late stage monopoly that is now able to raise prices and degrade services because there's fewer competitors from the building of the empire. So that's some of what people have told me, that there's really not a discrepancy here. It's just different stages of a monopoly's evolution.
That was our reporter, Dana Mattioli. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by Anthony Bansi with supervising producer Melanie Roy. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. You can check us out same time, same place tomorrow. Thanks for listening.